This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We had a ton of Game 7s over the weekend, but really, the basketball ones did not hold up. They were both blowouts, including the one in Phoenix. But I'll tell you what the Rangers gave you last night or yesterday, what the Calgary Flames got you as well. Overtime, Game 7, epic endings, and as you hear there, the Rangers goal call. That was the great Eddie Cohen, who's the voice of the Knicks, filling in on the Rangers call. And of course, the Rangers winning in overtime in the Garden, nothing better when it comes to atmosphere and just how rabid the fans are. And that was the goal song you heard there from the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart feels like we should just all get along as fans in New York and everybody just root for each other because it's New York and that's what matters. And every New Yorker is texting and tweeting me saying they're making them throw up. Because that's just not how it goes around here. I know you feel like that's important. Everybody should just be happy about one team winning because there's no winning going on in New York. But it just, Bart, it doesn't exist that way, my man. But before you even answered me, you know what time it is, right? Huh? It's 2 o'clock, right? So you know what that means. It's hour number three, right?
It's number three.
When it's hour number three, Bart.
Oh.
What does that mean, of course?
It's hour number three. That means it's the sour. No.
No.
Sour. It's the power hour. 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 Why is it still vibrating? Hour.
Really coming up short today.
We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service for professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Hey, like I said, the hockey was fantastic. You were dialed in, right?
Yeah, the boxing was fantastic, too. Like, Jamil Charlo, I'm telling you, Castaño, classic. Beating the hell out of each other. Love that. But finally, someone fell, and it was Castaño. You talk about Jamil Charlo, now undefeated in his rematches. Mm-hmm. He has all of the belts. Only 8 boxers in history has ever done that. And he's right there with the likes of Jermaine Taylor, B-Hop. You know what I mean? Oh, some of the greats, right? He's unified the entire division at 154. Twin brother is the better fighter. But listen, he's avenged all his draws and his one loss to Tony Harris.
Avenging draws sometimes can have another
connotation.
I was just wondering where you're going with that. But still, the NBA Game 7s yesterday didn't live up to much.
Game 6
was
game 6.
But what we took out of it, though, I mean, how could you be down by 46 in your own freaking building? In a game 7, when you're the best team in the league all year, you're a 64-win team. And there was so much focus on Chris Paul being old. Patrick Beverley just went to town on Chris Paul this morning on all the shows, including Get Up. Really just tore him up.
He's a black.
I feel like you go after Devin Booker more because, I mean, D-Book, you were 4th in MVP voting. That's your building. And this guy, Luka Doncic, this is part of your generation now. I mean, you guys are going to be playing against each other for years, and you're going to hear about this for a long time. There's no avenging this when you meet again in November or January. No, son. This doesn't get avenged until you play again in a playoff series and you put it on his team. Because right now, he's got your cubes in a jar on his mantle. Like, he's like holding them right there, just going, oh, yeah, that's when I walked into his house and ate his lunch. Like, come on. Like, how could that possibly happen? But we had Derek Harper on the show earlier, and Bart, he told us, this Mavs team, you know, we're overlooking them. We're overlooking Luka and how he takes a lot of these matchups personally. We overlook the Mavs. We also overlook Jason Kidd, who coached circles around the coach of the year, Monty Williams. And let's take a listen to Jason Kidd telling us what he thinks of the ceiling of this Mavericks team.
Meh.
Or not.
We believe in this show today, but we got to go through this journey. And I hate when, you know, we label or cap something. We don't know how far this can go. That's why we got to play them. that's why we showed up to play this evening. No one gave us a chance. A lot of people said it was going to be a blowout. Well, they were right. but they didn't have us on the winning side. This is a good win.
Well done. I like that little shot there. And it all goes back to Chris after the first two games, it's 2-0 Suns. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker were doing a lot of kind of like laughing and throwing shade and joking and stuff like that. And you could tell it didn't sit well with Kidd. It didn't sit well with that Mavs team, a bunch of tough guys on that roster. And they went to Dallas, and they got their ass kicked for two games. They go back, and then they win at Phoenix, and the Suns do it again. Booker talking about, you know, the Luka special as he's faking that he's hurt, and then messing with him as Luka had the ball in his hands, the stoppage of play. He was going to give it to the ref, and he's, like, smacked it out of his hands. You see Luka give him that look like, oh, this is what we're doing? Mm-hmm. And then after that, Luka just put buckets on that team, and they ended up stealing the series. And it just – it's amazing to watch – a player like Doncic at 23 years old, and the way people are reacting to him more and more about what kind of player he is in the league right now. Dan Orlovsky, who of course we know him from your side of ESPN, the football side, the NFL coverage, he tweeted something that I found interesting. I wonder if you see it this way. We'll do it the parallel like we always like to do. Luka Doncic is to the NBA like Joe Burrow is to the NFL. You agree with that? Sort of the same thing, swagger.
I see what he's trying to do.
Personality, yeah. Leader, not afraid of the moment, all that stuff. Like, I do kind of see the similarities.
I like my homeboy. I would say Luka's my homeboy.
More like Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, he's my homeboy. He's one of one.
You want to elaborate?
Well, he's one of one. I mean, you look at him, it's nobody like him, right? He's like a skilled, or he's like a small Jokic. You can't speed him up. He uses his body extremely well. He's wise beyond his years because guess what? He's been a professional for so long.
Yep.
And he's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid to fail. He's a big shot maker. He's a guy that, like, you can't – like, when I knew he was special when I saw that Kawhi and Paul George had nothing for him.
Yep.
When I saw that 2 years ago,
yep,
I knew that this dude he didn't just arrive to this moment. It's just that the pieces around him hasn't been right, and the coaching wasn't right. Jason Kidd is a point guard. He can tell him how to lead a team. He can tell him how to get his shots. He can tell him how to facilitate. So I think Jay Kidd and also unclogging the lane by getting rid of Porzingis has really unlocked the potential of what he really can be without another superstar. This is old school. Like, usually, this is how it used to be. One superstar and a bunch of okay players that we would kind of say is a superstar, but they're only a superstar because they play with a superstar.
Yeah. And I think the kid addition has been so key because Kid thinks the game at a different level than a lot of people. I remember when he was a player and also as a coach, he always knew little tricks that he could pull. He just knew every rule.
Spilling juice on the floor.
Remember that? Yeah, like little things just to get himself a timeout. But I think putting those two together, and then once they connected, you could just see how things started to turn, and he's challenged him in a way, but he also reached this group, like you said. There's no other real star on the team. Once they traded away Porzingis, they really were a group of role players and defensive guys and tough guys around Luka. And if you saw in the locker room after the game, Kid is talking to the team, and he says, like I told you, like, would it be hard? Was it hard? Yeah. Are you tired? Yeah. And then one guy just suddenly goes, but not tired tonight. And then Kid laughs.
Yeah.
And he goes, 10 o'clock curfew. And then he goes, 10 a.m., right? 10 a.m. Like, they were ready to party. But you could just see the connection he had with them as he made them believe that they could do it. And that, of course, is what makes this now series all of a sudden. Here's Luka versus Steph Curry. Here's Luka. Here's the Mavericks and the Warriors. We did not expect this to be the matchup. But it is the one we get, and it's going to be compelling. On the other side of things, Bart, we have on the East is the Heat and the Celtics. And that is going to be a fun series because it's also a younger team, two teams that really get after it defensively, well-coached teams, and another chance for Jason Tatum to prove himself as a superstar. But one quick note here. The Celtics did announce today that Marcus Smart suffered in Game 7 a mid-foot sprain. And that Ime Udoka is saying that he's questionable for Game 1 against the Heat. But Robert Williams is available with no minutes restriction. But still, Marcus Smart, not having him at 100%, which I'm sure not everybody's 100%, still something to keep an eye on. So we'll dive more into the Marcus Smart impact and, of course, the conference finals in the East and the West with a former NBA player and coach. But first, we want to remind you, it is Bart and Hahn. It's ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Ow!
It is the nightmare of every hooper, every squad. But for it to happen in a game seven, like, we have off nights. We have bad nights. I can be touched by that. But in a game seven?
Even before the game one, you know, nobody picked us. So it was motivational for us.
In a game seven, Monica McNutt, yes, no one could believe what they saw in that game. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We continue the NBA conversation by bringing back a friend of the show, James Posey, basketballnews.com writer, podcaster, also obviously a former NBA player and coach. He's got rings on his finger in Miami, in Boston. And
ooh, he's got to be conflicted.
Well, that's what I want to get to right away. Posey, how are we doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
All right. Let's get right into that series and the matchup. Jason Tatum and the Celtics, a very good defensive team. What they did in control, I couldn't believe they held Giannis under 30 in a game seven. I know that sounds crazy, but Giannis has been the be-all, end-all. And that defense, we'll talk about the three-point shooting, but I still think the Celtic defense was really good. And then obviously what we know about the Miami Heat and that defense, and they frustrating and shutting down James Harden, frustrating Joel Embiid and getting to the conference finals. You've got blood in the ground in both these places. What do you see happening in this conference finals?
I'm going to say it's going to go down to game seven between the two teams.
Okay.
I think that, you know, every game is going to be adjustments. You guys said it. Those teams, Miami and the Celtics, are great defensive teams. And it's going to be a lot of ball movement. It should be a lot of ball movement. Just to get a great shot for the most part. I think outside of the stars, the role players are going to have to be a constant best version of themselves. And I think that's really going to decide. You know, with Boston, you had Tatum and Brown. You know, those guys, you know, opportunity to rise to the occasion. I think they'll be ready for that. But also you have Jimmy Butler, Bam, and Tyler Hero on Miami that, you know, can also – score big as well. So it's going to be interesting with how the role players, you know, dictate really the wins and losses for these games.
Now, I don't know how you're going to watch this game. Are you going to be like when the moms go to the game, they have the half jerseys kind of split, half Miami, half green. But I guess I want to ask you, who's the better leader, Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum? Because I think that's what it's really going to come down to. Who can really rally the troops, because when you look at it, it looks like the Celtics is a younger version, maybe a little longer version of the Miami Heat.
I mean, Tatum, you know, because he's young and, you know, he's one of the faces of that organization, but you got to give, I think, Al Horford credit too, as far as him being there and provide some leadership as well. And just with, you know, Tatum being there in Boston, you know, the opportunity to lead as well. And I think they pretty much do it by committee. Jimmy Butler, on the other hand, you know, it was questions about him. You know what I'm saying? His stops in, you know, Chicago, Minnesota, and things like that in Philly. But now you get to see his true leadership skills in Miami with the organization that's big on leadership and holding guys accountable. I think Jimmy Butler, you know, fits right in, and he's able to do that down in Miami. To be a leader like that.
Talking with James Posey about the NBA playoffs. So now we reach the conference finals. Our final four is set, and you have the Celtics and the Heat in the East. And in the West, a little bit of a surprise, the Mavericks taking on the Golden State Warriors. Pose, what were you thinking as you were watching Luka Doncic just go to work in Game 6 and Game 7 and put the Suns to sleep?
Man, I mean, honestly, I really couldn't believe he made it look so easy. And it was like he was just having fun doing it. And just his facial expressions and some of his reactions was like, yo, like, I can't even believe, like, it should be even here right now, because, you know, it should have been over for the most part earlier in the season, in the series. But, hey, give him credit. You know, they rose to the occasion after being down, played great basketball, Dinwiddie came in, played great for him last night. That was a good thing to see as well, moving forward for them. But Luka, man, it was just, man, he just did whatever you want to, and he controlled the game and the rest of the series coming down. I mean, I think once he came back. Mm-hmm.
Is it over with for Chris Paul and his aspirations to win the title? Like, I know, like, this year he was the favorite, right? Last year it was an admiration. We didn't know if it was fool's gold or not because it was the first time they had got together. And, you know, this year, best record in the NBA, falls short. I can't see this team getting better to a clip where Chris Paul is your second best player. And you look at the rest of the West with everything that's coming back, whether it's Murray and Porter coming back, whether it's, you know, you look at Kawhi coming back. Was this his best and probably last chance to win a title?
Man, Chris Paul, that's my guy. I think for him to get it done in Phoenix, this probably was his best chance. He still has some years of basketball to play, but I think maybe in a different role and a different team with more firepower gives him a chance to do so later on in his career. But I don't think this Phoenix team, you know, I just think his time with them is short to win it all. You hit it on the head. You have teams that's going to be a big factor next year. You know, I start off and say the Minnesota Timberwolves. You mm-hmm. still got the Clippers. You still have the Lakers. You got Denver. Like, you got teams coming back full strength, and I just don't think Phoenix have enough to get past those teams to give them an opportunity to make another run unless they add a couple more pieces. I just think his window for the Suns, as far as winning it all, is very short and almost closed. I hate to say it, that's my guy, but mm-hmm. as far as basketball wise, I think maybe another opportunity. You know, he maybe sign a year or two somewhere else where he doesn't have to do as much for that team. He can sort of sit back and orchestrate everything else. But what they need in Phoenix, you know, they have Booker. You know, he's a great talent, but they just need somebody else. You know, Ayton wasn't really, a big factor. So they need just another perimeter player, I think, with some size that could help them turn a corner. And I think for the series, I think once they made Chris Paul sort of defend and play on both ends a little bit, I think that's where it changed because he wasn't able to rest. He wasn't able to run his show. And now he had to focus on playing some solid defense. And when they were switching those pick and rolls and he ended up on Luka, his Luka size was just too much and his physicality was just too much and it wore CP down. So it was tough to watch my homeboy go down like that. But yeah. I know he's a fighter. He'll still be within the mix somewhere.
Yeah, there's some reality to it. I mean, that's just – you could see it on his face afterwards, even though he said he definitely wants to come back, and he should if he's healthy. But there's just a little bit of reality that you could tell in that moment. James Posey joins us right now. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. And obviously, those who know that name know a guy that played defense. So with that in mind, I ask you, how would you defend Luka Doncic?
Man, listen, it's going to be tough. Now, listen – I think I was a star in my role. I did as best I could. I wasn't no flat out just stopper, but I just made it tough. And my thing is, and I know, you know, they have scout reports and they watching film and video. I don't understand how this guy keep getting to that step back to the left. I don't understand it. I don't. And I think, you know, you have to keep some size on him, but I think you have to, you know, sort of pressure his dribble a little bit, make him more of a driver. When he gets to dancing out on the perimeter and, you know, he's able to get to that step back, it's just tough. I just think too much of that where somebody just has to say, you have to beat us with your next best move and see how well he finishes at the paint, at the basket.
Is it Draymond Green or is it Kuminga? Or is this one of the ones you talk about put size on a guy like Kuminga? Don't know if Iggy's going to be back for this, but, you know, Draymond, they kind of built alike, right? They're both, little McDonald bodies, you know what I mean? we all know it, right? And that's part of his strength, right? You know, do you think Draymond Green is the best matchup for them?
Well, I think so, just because Draymond, you know, his presence, his discipline, to details and his activity for the most part. I think his size, you know, can cause problems for him. And, you know, and once you get into a series, like, you know, you make adjustments and you get to lock in on plays, players and things like that. So I think Draymond, he will be very capable of doing so. And I think he's just earned that reputation for the most part. So he'll make it tough. And I don't think he will let him have as many step backs as possible. But it would be a fun series to watch and those two going at it.
So a lot of people are trying to compare, and Mo Williams did this actually, and he said it, he thinks Luka better than Bird, meaning Larry Bird, of course. He thinks he is at this point already. And let's keep in mind, Luka's 23 years old. I don't know if that's a fair comparison. I know it's two white guys, so let's just do that. But Bart and I both kind of were talking about it, and we think Luka, and you were teammates with him. Luka plays a lot like Paul Pierce, doesn't he?
Super slow.
Super slow. He has good footwork for the most part, and he's able to score the basketball. I think I'm going to stay away from that comparison. I think people should stay away from that comparison, too.
Which one?
He still has a lot of basketball in him, and I guess just what time will tell, but I wouldn't say no Larry Bird comparison right now.
But what about Paul Pierce, though? Because Paul Pierce was a guy that wasn't super fast, you know, but he was a guy that can get his shot.
Strong.
He used his physicality. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't always, you know, eating a proper diet.
I would just say that when you talk about the pace and tempo in which he plays, I can see that, you know, comparison to Paul Pierce and being able just to score the ball. And I think the more the advantage will be just with Paul Pierce being able to finish at the rim, nice mid-range game, nice post-up game, and then also being able to shoot the three. But when you talk about the pace and the speed, I can see that comparison, yes.
Pose, it's always great to catch up with you. That was great insight, especially that stuff on Luka. All stuff to keep an eye on, no doubt about it. Thanks so much for the time, as always.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you got it. James Posey, basketballnews.com writer and podcaster right now. But, again, rings on his finger. He's been there, done that, with that Celtics team, with Miami, and certainly knows the game and loved what he said about Luka and that step back because he's absolutely right, and we'll see if the Heat make the adjustment on that. Coming up, we've got your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming off a weekend of Game 7s. The hockey side of things got it right. And I'll tell you what, Bart, when the stars show up that in those games, that's when you win. And for one team, the stars showed up just in time. We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
15 seconds with an advantage. Fox for Panera. Top the right circle. Moves in. Shoots. It's in.
Oh, it's over.
Artemi Panarin scores, and the Rangers have won Game 7 in overtime.
Unbelievable.
Eddie Cohen, the call on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the Rangers radio network. Game 7, overtime. Bart, I'm sorry, I'll put that up against almost anything. I mean, almost anything in sports.
I'd rather have a shootout.
Even crappy overtime in the NFL is not as good as this.
I want the shootout.
You can't have a shootout.
No, because I want somebody to blame. You know what I mean? Like he made it. Why couldn't you make it? It's like how you line it up. You know what I mean?
But still, all right, you want to blame somebody, you'd always want to blame the goalie because he'll let up the goal. But if you looked at here's the other game. Flames Stars was the other game 7 yesterday. That one late last night. I also went to overtime. And Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau scores in overtime. It's 3-2 is the final. And you would think like he – and also the shot was from this crazy angle. Jake Ottinger, by the way, played out of his mind. 64 saves, my man.
Yeah.
But, 64. Yeah. Like, what more did you want? Like, you talk about
– What more do you want from me?
Yes. If you were talking about that, that is Ottinger after the game. Literally, like, 64 wasn't enough. You know, some idiot's going to be like, yeah, it should have been 65. You know, like, there's always that one.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
He played out of his mind. But you know what? It's still exciting. And you know who does hockey really, really well? The voice of the Jets. Bob Wischusen. I have discovered as he's now doing games for ESPN, he has become, he's a great NFL announcer, great college football announcer, but he does hockey. really well. I want you guys all to enjoy Bob Wischusen calling the game-winning goal by Johnny Gaudreau for the Calgary Flames last night.
Shot back to Gaudreau. Gaudreau dangles. Gaudreau out in front. Lindholm shoots. Save Ottinger. The rebound to Gaudreau. He shoots and scores! It's over! Johnny Gaudreau wins it in overtime!
I mean, how great is that? Didn't that get you fired up? Bob Wischusen.
Yeah, he's a very strong speller, I can tell. You know what I mean? Talks very proper. I feel like he's more proper for hockey than he is for, like, the Jets.
Oh, he's made some great calls, though, for your game.
No, of course. No, of course. But I'm saying it's like that classic hockey sound.
Yes.
The diction. Oh, yeah. Being able to read, being able to pronounce names properly. Mm-hmm. I would chop it all up.
Yes, you'd have some fun with it. But still, there was something exciting about this. About the hockey game sevens over the weekend versus
the basketball. They were tremendous.
Unbelievable.
I mean, is that the Stemmer? Is that Pete Stemkowski saying that? Right? I think he was on the call.
Yes,
it was. It was Stemmer. I mean, you just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Whoa! What was his voice? He sounded like Keith Sweat.
He sounded like
Keith Sweat. Baby, I know. Sound like a sheep. What the hell? Baby, I know.
But you know what, though? Yeah, that's actually really good. You're right. That's literally what it sounded like. But as we wait for the Stars to show up in these games, that's what it's always about, right? Will the Stars show up? For the Rangers, they were down 3-1 in the series, and you just weren't getting enough out of their Stars. Even their goalie, who's the biggest star, was probably the best goalie in the league.
Got pulled.
Igor Shesterkin. Yeah, but it wasn't really to his fault as much as it was the defense in front of him. But you were waiting. Like, where's Chris Kreider? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Zibanejad, where are you? Panarin was not having a great series. Another guy, like, you just looked at their top line thinking, are you guys going to show up? Because their kid line, they were great. Lafreniere and Kapo, they were playing really well, and the Stars weren't showing up for the Rangers. But when it mattered,
well, game they seven, did. That atmosphere.
Kreider had the goal in the first period. Zibanejad ties it in the third period, 6 minutes to go, and then Panarin comes up huge in overtime to get the win and now move them into the second round against the Carolina Hurricanes. Bart, you can't win if your Stars don't show up.
Yeah, that's
and the
true.
Star and their Stars showed up when it mattered most.
Unless you're one of those rare occasions, man, when your goalie just stands on his head, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what. And listen, Shesterkin did that.
He did in this game.
I'm talking about the first game. Like, first goal. Game, what did he do? 83 shots he defended?
Oh, the triple overtime, yeah.
And that, I think that took a lot out of him. Right, and he wasn't the same, and sometimes you overcompensate and not understand that, hey, it's the defense in front of you got to be better, not him. You know, but listen, off to the second round. It's crazy because it feels like this is like – because basketball playoffs been going so long, now you got hockey going. It feels like this is like the third round. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like it's just the second round.
For the Stanley
Yeah, playoffs, and listen, I'm already like, Cubby, make him a – like, it's been so much drama in just the first round of this thing.
Yeah, that's the best thing with when they changed the format. You ended up getting some great matchups, and then it just has felt a lot more competitive. It's way more parity in the NHL than ever before. Maybe aside from, of course, the Avalanche Predator series. But I'm also telling you right now, for those of you that might not be like diehard hockey fans, but love to see like a good battle, great series, you want to watch. Now, I actually think Lightning Panthers should be fun because it's, you know, two Florida teams, bit of a rivalry there. But there's nothing like the Flames and the Oilers. It is Edmonton and Calgary. Now, I know a lot of you people around the country probably rolling your eyes like, where the hell is Edmonton, right? It's in Alberta. It's a province of Canada.
Yeah, it's only
and
nine
I'm telling
provinces
you right now,
Canada.
Those two cities, look at the history between them. They have brawls. Like, this would be akin to Islanders, Rangers. This would be like Clippers, Lakers, like, if
Chicago,
they ever played in a playoff series.
Chicago Red Wings. When they had Bob Probert and it was
well,
going
I mean,
down.
Yeah, all right, the close in
old school,
yeah,
old school.
Close cities. But there's just something about when two cities that are that close to each other play each other in a playoff series and they have a history, and they do. The Flames and the Oilers have a history. Like, you go back years, you go back to the 80s when they went up against you. Like, this series is going to be a lot of fun, and you've got a superstar in Connor McDavid, and you've got a great team. And Daryl Sutter never loses game sevens. It's ridiculous. The guy's, like, unbeaten in game sevens. So that's a series to watch. That'll be fun. And one more thing on the Rangers. For all the Ranger fans excited about this team not getting to the second round, you should be. But this Hurricanes team, you don't go down. Like, they were down 2-0 at home in Game 7 to the Penguins. But because Pittsburgh's defense sucks, you come back, you come back, you come back. You can't do that against Carolina. That team, when they go up 2-0, they lock it down. It's over. Game shut. They shut it down. Like, that's one thing that you got to be worried about, is being soft in front of your net and also not, and also giving up goals early and having a chase, because you don't want to chase a team like Carolina. But still, what a night it was at the Garden last night. What a night it was for the NHL last night in the Game 7s. If only the NBA was able to live up to it as far as entertainment value. It's Barton Hahn. We want you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bring you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. You want to weigh in on the playoffs, on the Rangers, on the Battle of Alberta, if you got something to say about that, and of course, on the NBA and where Luka stands right now among the greats, not just of his generation, but where he is right now among the league's best. We'll discuss that and more with you. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The number's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the Rangers win in overtime at the Garden last night. Panarin coming through, Zibanejad coming through, Kreider coming through, your star showing up, as I was just talking about. And that's what you needed, and that's what they got. Well, they're going to need a lot more of it against the Hurricanes. But still, getting the second round for this team, especially with a lot of the young players they have, for Shesterkin to have this experience, Bart, it's also valuable, right? This is where you build. You got to start building off this stuff. We thought the same thing about the Knicks last year, but they were miserable in the playoffs. The Rangers, a much different story. They bounced back from down 3-1, and they did it against the Penguins team that literally, I mean, I know Johnny played the Game 7, but for the most series, they had their third goalie. And then when Crosby had that, well, I mean, reported concussion, I don't know if it really was, but still, things really took a turn. But you got to credit the Rangers for sticking with it, and they did. We go to the calls. Anthony is in Jersey. Anthony, what's up, man?
Let's do that hockey.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the Rangers. It seems like in the upcoming series against Carolina, most people are already doubting the Rangers' chances. I think this is the matchup they actually want. If you go back to 2020 in the qualifying round, the Rangers got absolutely smacked in those three games.
Yes.
And all the former Rangers on the team, I think the Rangers are going to come out pretty angry. And I expect the fans to come out in Carolina and overwhelm that building.
That's one thing to keep in mind, Anthony, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I wanted to ask Bart about this. It's the one thing that does happen with the Rangers that you get with some other of the, you know, again, major market kind of teams.
Pittsburgh's delicious.
There's a lot there, like, you know, you play at Tampa, ton of Ranger fans down in Tampa. You play at Florida, ton of Ranger fans down in Florida. Carolina's the same thing. When the Rangers go in that building, regular season, it's like half and half. But Bart, I mean, can you imagine if the Hurricanes, which now that's an established franchise down there, a long time, they've won a cup. I mean, are you really letting a half the building be Ranger fans for a playoff series?
Hey, money talks, man. And New York is a place where, you know, people that are successful leave New York and go settle somewhere else.
Yes.
So they can be Rangers fans wrapped in Carolina clothing. So that's what they do. And then what happens is they offer you this money, and you think, you're like, all right, whatever, man, I'm going to take this money. I'll watch the game. Because watching the game on TV is just as exciting as being there in person sometimes, right? So, hey, give your tickets up, make a little extra coin, and then next thing you know, the Rangers have, you know, people in there chanting their name and lifting their team up.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes, but certainly, again, the Hurricanes, the way they play on the ice, that was what matters most. We're back in 10 seconds.
Let's do that hockey.
Bart and Hahn. Bart and Hahn.
Oh, yeah. Hey, baby. It's Bart Scott Allen Hahn.
Yeah, buddy.
ESPN Radio. I know you missed us, so let's get our groove back on. I know we just left, and I'm coming to deliver the pizza. Extra beef. I'm going to tear you apart.
Bart and Hahn.
Unbelievable.
This
Man, I love Stemmer. Stemkowski is like a legend. You know, he's a legend, obviously. He's a well-loved personality.
But he sounded like Keith Sweat.
But that call, yeah.
Dang.
Unbelievable.
Really,
what you tell me?
Unbelievable.
What? Like, I always, when I listen to Keith Sweat, I always thought it was that echo.
This poor guy. He's all excited.
It's like he was talking in the fan or something, man. Like, yeah, he's talking into the fan.
When you talk straight into a fan, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's Bart and Hot, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN,
888-729-3776.
I'll do anything to hurt you. Why me, baby? did you see this tweet by Sierra?
CeCe has something to say?
Yeah, and a picture, too, by the way, which you might want to check. She said, wow, my dream to be on the cover of the SI swimsuit came true. Proud to be on the cover of such an iconic magazine to join the list of elite women that have come before me. Thanks to the SI team for choosing me to be your cover girl. Going to be making that thang jump today, she said. And then there's a picture of her, cowboy hat, bathing suit, of course, with the cover.
What do you think of Serena, right, that's been there, Tyra Banks, you know what I mean? She's like maybe one of the first entertainers. I haven't looked at sports. Sports Illustrated used to be a thing when I was in college, but it's not – has been as much. You know, I know it's a big deal.
I had
deal.
Every edition from the 80s,
but yeah,
by the way.
You know, now,
L. McPherson?
L. McPherson?
Yeah, man.
I'm going to have to look up. You know, I was too busy looking at them Jet magazine covers.
Okay. But still, like, you know, there's Sierra, Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. Obviously, Russell Wilson now in Denver. Maybe even
power,
you know, try to play for a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, power couple, no doubt about it, right?
No, absolutely, man. Let's see.
You're Googling right now. Look at you Googling. You're Googling. Look at you Googling.
I already seen you. She already your shoulder goodies off. Like, it's in video. She always dancing.
I'm just saying.
She's a beautiful woman, man.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Russell Wilson.
I'm more talking about the fact that it's like this, you just said, power couple. Like, there's
I think it's off the momentum. And the reason they picked her, because it's off of that momentum of, you know, Russell Wilson and the expectations. I tell you what, man, I didn't realize that how many, like, national games they got. I don't know if it's the power of Denver or if it's the power of Russell Wilson.
I think it's Russ. I don't know if it's the Broncos themselves, but I think you add him to that team. And you're the one who's – a lot of people felt like you add an Aaron Rodgers to that team, they're a Super Bowl contender. Well, you add Russell Wilson, and that's a team that's probably going to play for a lot. And there'll be a lot of eyes on that team because of him. They're getting a ton of national love.
He's in that rare space that, like, Reggie Bush was in when he was dating Kim Kardashian, right? You know, they have so much power outside of, you know, – football or the sport, mm-hmm. that, you know, people just, they're interested in their lives, right? We know she has a kid by Future, and, you know, they have a kid together, and, you know, Russell is a great stepdad. So it's like people want to, you know, you bring in more than just a casual fan.
Yeah, they're interesting. Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, there's just a lot of attention.
But in that division, I thought, you know, maybe it would be more about, you know, Herbert or, you know, but I guess Carr's not that interesting. He need to go out and get a scandal.
That's what he needs is a scandal.
He needs a scandal. Winning
there would be. He's in Vegas. I'm sure he can find one.
He needs to start dating Taylor Swift. You know, she always got this. She'll write an album about him when you break her heart.
That's right. She's been kind of quiet lately, too, you know? So you're not buying the Drew Brees stuff. You don't think he's coming back, right?
Man, listen, if he comes back, it's only going to be to Carolina. That's the only team that needs him. Like, who wants it? He's going to want more money. Like, I don't understand he's walking
away
from
it. He can't play for anybody but the Saints. He wouldn't go to Carolina.
Nah. He'll go wherever he can play. Saints ain't got no time for him. They did all that to get from underneath the salary cap hell he had him in. Had everybody restructure. And they spent that money.
All right, you know what tomorrow is, right? Tomorrow's a big day. NBA draft lottery day.
Let's go, Pistons. We need a wing, baby. I want Banchero.
I'm just saying, the Knicks will have the 11th pick.
And
the way it goes is whoever goes 10th is going to be a star. You know that's coming. All right, everybody. Have
fun. Y'all get Johnny Davis, baby. Y'all get Johnny Davis.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.